There were 93,000 overdose deaths in the U.S. last year. More than 2,000 of those were in Massachusetts alone. That's just a fraction of what the opioid epidemic has taken from us in the past decades. Hello, welcome to And Another Thing. I'm Maya Schwader. On today's show, Purdue Pharma has reached a deal with 15 states. The billionaire family behind the company must pay out $4.3 billion to those who sued. Massachusetts and Maine are taking the deal, but Connecticut, Rhode Island, Vermont, and New Hampshire are not. We'll have the attorneys general of Massachusetts and Connecticut on to explain their positions, and a father who lost his son explains his grief. If you'd like to join our conversations, you can email us at andanotherthing@nepm.org or across social media, we are at @HelloAndAnother. This is And Another Thing from New England Public Media. Welcome back to the show. Derek Kennedy is off today. I'm Maya Schwader. In the last two decades, the U.S. has lost some 500,000 people to opioid overdoses. Now, Purdue Pharma, which makes one of the most widely used opioids, have agreed on a settlement. Amongst other things, the Sackler family behind the company will shell out billions of dollars to settle thousands of lawsuits. And for the first time, 33 million documents will be made public that will highlight how Purdue and the Sacklers manufactured and marketed their drugs. Notably, Connecticut, the home of Purdue Pharma, has rejected the deal. Later in the show, we'll hear from Connecticut's Attorney General William Tong about his opposition. And we'll also hear from a father who lost his son to an overdose about his feelings on the settlement. Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey and her office led the national charge against the Sacklers. Earlier this year, she had come out strongly against the proposed settlement, and then she signed on. We asked her what made her decide to say yes.
Let me just say at the outset that I don't think that anything will address the pain and the suffering experienced by so many families across our state and across our country. But I can tell you that one thing that families did want is for there to be accountability and transparency. And that's what changed for me. The one thing that the families really wanted, and that was accountability and transparency through the creation of this public document repository. This is unprecedented. For the first time now, we'll have every single email, memo, document relating to Purdue and the Sacklers over the course of their company history. And it will tell the story. It will lay bare exactly what happened and when it happened. And that's something that's very important.
30 million documents are going to be in this repository. What do you think that's going to show us?
Well, I think a few things. Number one, it's going to name names. And while the bankruptcy proceeding keeps us from moving forward with a trial here in Massachusetts, what this does is essentially put on public display forever in this online repository, free to anyone to access. It names the names, it tells the story. That's important for accountability. It's important for informing the work of Congress and policymakers going forward. It will inform public health experts going forward and allow that information, hopefully, will drive the kinds of changes that we need to see in law and policy so that this never happens again. Also, it should send a clear message to anyone out there, any bad actor out there, any bad corporate actor out there, or anyone who assists them, including accountants, law firms, consultants, many of whom will see their names included and their own documents included online in this public document repository, that they have to be very careful to make sure they're not engaging in practices that are illegal and that can be subject to law enforcement action, as has been the case here with Purdue and the Sacklers.
Also, as part of this settlement, the Sacklers now have a lifelong legal shield against any future lawsuits. They also don't have to admit any wrongdoing. I don't mean to be droll here, but is the 30 million documents that will be in this repository worth that?
Maya, there's no other choice. In terms of where the public is going on this, we have a judge who in August is going to enter an order. That order would be whatever order he wants to enter. My job as Attorney General and as the lead state on this matter was to get as much as we could under the current extent of the law. in the current extent of the law, we were pushed and we were able to get full document disclosure, including the production of attorney-client privilege documents. We were able to get Purdue shut down, out of business for good, the Sacklers out of the opioid business for good. The Sacklers have their naming rights taken away during during this time. And, you know, I think that everybody sort of knows now the Sacklers' name and what that's associated with. Is the money ever enough? No, it's never enough. But that's also why we've gone, my office went to Congress to ask them to pass the Sackler Act to try to reform laws to stop billionaires from abusing our bankruptcy system. So that's why I've been very clear. I'm not declaring victory. It isn't enough. And it won't be enough for the families, but it's the very best that we could get under the current system, a system that needs to change. And that's what I hope this will help bring about, seeing all these documents out there. I mean, that's huge.
If you're just joining us on And Another Thing, we're speaking with Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey about the Purdue Pharma deal. $90 million will be coming to Massachusetts as part of the payout from the makers of OxyContin. We asked the Attorney General, where is that money going and who gets to make that decision?
My office worked with the legislature to set up an opioid recovery fund. Any funds that come into Massachusetts are dedicated solely to prevention and treatment. So all $90 million, every dollar will be dedicated to prevention, treatment, and recovery. That's in addition to the $13 million I recently brought back from our lawsuit against McKinsey for their role in this crisis, and any future settlements. And then per the legislation, there is an advisory council that consists of a number of people, including people with lived experience. And that council is gonna help advise and decide how best to allocate that money. But I think it's very important that people know that money is all going directly to help families in our state.
The settlement resolves 600,000 individual claims across the board. How is this impacting the other lawsuits that cities and towns have filed against, for instance, manufacturers and the distributors of opioids?
Well, two separate things. Our work and investigation against the five other opioid manufacturers and distributors continues. We're continuing to pursue that, and hopefully we'll see significant recovery there.
Several of your colleagues in our region have said no to this deal, and AG William Tong in Connecticut has been particularly outspoken about not taking the deal. What do you make of his stance that he's holding out?
Well, I respect the decisions of my colleagues. I will say that all of the states that are holding out are still going to get the deal, whether they sign on or not. They're going to get the benefit of this. So I would like to say that I'm not going to take a resolution, but I didn't feel it was a responsible thing for me to do. I felt that the responsible thing for me to do as the lead state and the lead actor in this space was to go to the table and get as much as we could, which was really for us getting this public document repository. That's the kind of accountability that our families want, whether it was $4 billion or $5 billion. No amount of money is going to bring back a lost son or daughter. So I understand some of my colleagues wanted more money. I wanted more money, of course. I wanted the Sacklers to have to pay back everything and go to jail. But we didn't have a DOJ willing to prosecute. And we had a bankruptcy judge who was going to be entering an order in a month's time. So I think that, you know, we got the very best that we could. I think that we have important relief in this resolution. I think it is a clear statement about accountability and transparency, and it's going to bring real money to families, to communities, to address what is an ongoing issue. There are more opioid deaths this year than last year.
There's been an administration change now. There's a different Department of Justice. Might that open the door for future prosecution?
Hopefully. Hopefully it does open the door, because with these documents coming online for the first time, documents never seen before, hopefully that will help law enforcement and prosecutors determine what they need to do. And as I've said for a long time, I believe that the Sacklers should be prosecuted. They weren't under the Trump administration. Instead, the Trump administration last fall decided to enter a plea with Purdue, but they did not pursue the Sacklers. And so I hope that this information will be helpful to future law enforcement efforts.
Attorney General Maura Healey, thank you so much for joining us on And Another Thing.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we'll hear from Connecticut's Attorney General William Tong himself about why he's against this deal. And later in the show, a parent who lost his child to an overdose gives us his thoughts. And Another Thing, we'll be right back after this.
The Brits have crowns, and The Crown is a popular television series produced by Brits. Their movie and TV industry, though, is going through some other kind of drama. We'll explain next time on Marketplace.
Stay tuned for Marketplace, which is ahead at 6:30, followed by Fresh Air at 7 and Jazz a la Mode at 8 on New England Public Media. And Another Thing on NEPM is funded by you and Dean's Beans Organic Coffee, creators and funders of the Kids Stimulus Package, a school feeding program for children throughout Western Massachusetts. DeansBeans.com. You're listening to New England Public Media.
Welcome back to And Another Thing from New England Public Media. I'm Maya Schwader. Today, we're talking about the Purdue Pharma legal settlement. 15 states have signed on to the deal that will pay out $4.5 billion to settle thousands of lawsuits against the makers of OxyContin. But 8 states, including Rhode Island, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Connecticut, as well as Washington, D.C., are not taking the deal. Earlier, Derek Kennedy spoke with Connecticut's Attorney General about why he's decided to hold out.
Attorney General Tong joins me now. Attorney General, why has Connecticut not accepted the Purdue Pharma settlement money?
The settlement is insufficient. It does not do enough justice. It does not do enough to recognize the tremendous harm and damage that Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family have caused to the people of Connecticut. Connecticut loses more than 1,000 people every year. That's 1,000 families destroyed by the opioid and addiction epidemic, and more than $10 billion in economic damage to our state alone. So multiply that by, you know, the hundreds of thousands of people across our country who are affected every year.
And so to clarify for our listeners, because this is getting a little confusing, the actual mediation is with both Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family, is that correct, which owns the company?
So this is why this whole thing is an abuse of the bankruptcy process. Purdue Pharma, the company, claims it is bankrupt. I don't buy that. But I think we all know the Sacklers are not bankrupt. Bankrupt means you have no money. They've got plenty of money, billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars that they've siphoned out of the company Purdue, and they made off the backs of victims and the addiction crisis in this country. And the idea that the Sacklers can use the bankruptcy process to shield themselves is outrageous.
How much money would Connecticut have received if you did agree to the settlement?
So I believe the settlement would have paid Connecticut something in the neighborhood of $20 million. You know, I don't have the latest math. Purdue and the Sacklers put a couple hundred million dollars more, and that would have added to the total. But it's not nearly enough when you consider the tens of billions of dollars that the Sacklers and Purdue made off the addiction crisis.
15 other states did go ahead and accept the settlement, Massachusetts being one of them. Attorney General Maura Healey will accept around $90 million for the state. Yeah. Is that enough, you think?
Look, that's for General Healey to decide. And Maura was a huge part of pushing the Sacklers and Purdue for the disclosure of documents so we know the full story, including some attorney-client privilege documents. So that's an important step forward, and I credit General Healey for that. Every state has to make its own judgment, and a number of states have said that the priority for them is to get as much money as they can, as quickly as they can, to treatment and prevention. I generally agree with that, but that doesn't mean I'm just going to take any amount. You know, if they offered me $1 million or $500 million, no one would say that's enough. Even though that money would go to treatment and prevention, that would be a far cry from what justice demands from this family, the Sacklers, and this company, Purdue.
Where would the settlement money go? Does it go to the families that have sued the company, or does it just go into a general fund for Connecticut?
In terms of the state dollars are supposed to go to abatement, which I define as treatment, prevention, and addiction science. And there's no doubt every little bit helps. And I don't want to diminish the value of millions of dollars for Connecticut, for the opioid crisis. It would be helpful. But as I've said many times, that doesn't mean we're just going to accept anything that Purdue offers us and the Sacklers. And we're definitely not going to accept the scraps from their table. As far as I can tell, nobody in the Sackler family has to sell houses or cars or art or go without in any meaningful way when people in Connecticut are suffering and families are losing so much when we lose more than 1,000 people every year in this state. And even though there's a deal on the table, as I have said all along, a bad deal is so much worse than no deal.
What number looks good to you then in terms of receiving money? What number is ideal?
More than this. And they have an obligation, I believe, the Sacklers, to step forward and acknowledge the pain and the suffering that they have caused. They're not doing that. They're not admitting any fault. And they have to put resources behind making this right. What they're doing here is frankly just insufficient. Even though it is several billion dollars that they've offered, on a present value basis, it's not enough in proportion to the harm and the damage that they've caused to try to stop and abate the opioid and addiction crisis in Connecticut and across the country.
Attorney General, what do you say to the people that say, listen, this has been going on long enough, take the money and let's just figure out how to help the opioid crisis in our communities?
It's not just about the money. It's about justice for the families. It's about the families in Connecticut that have an empty chair at dinner at the holidays. It's about the incredible damage that this crisis continues to wreak upon cities and towns and the state of Connecticut, and recognizing that no amount is ever going to be enough. And so my job is to demand an amount that does meaningfully something to help this crisis, to stop this crisis of addiction across our state. And this isn't it. This number isn't it.
Confirmations are set for August 9th. What can happen between now and then? Or are you willing to continue to negotiate with them to get a settlement that's fair for Connecticut?
I'm going to continue to fight. And I know that my colleagues in other states, like California, like Washington State, like Oregon, like Maryland, we're standing our ground and we're going to continue to fight because we know that this deal isn't it. This settlement doesn't do enough. And we're considering every viable option.
California, Delaware, Maryland, Oregon, in our region, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Vermont, and as you mentioned, Washington, D.C., are holding strong with you and refusing to accept this settlement. Is there power in numbers?
Yes, and there's power in the states that we've assembled. And these are important states, pivotal states, aggressive states. And we think it's important to stay together. If the Sacklers and Purdue Pharma finally want to reckon with the harm that they've caused, they have my number.
Attorney General William Tong, thank you again for joining us on And Another Thing.
Thank you, Dara.
In between all the talk of dollar amounts and troves of documents and millions and billions, we have to remember there are real people at the heart of the epidemic. On March 12, 2014, Roger Brunel and his wife lost their son to an overdose. He was 26 at the time. Rather than hide for fear of the stigma, the Brunels decided to go public with his obituary, and they became involved in the lawsuits against the Sacklers and Purdue Pharma. We caught up with Roger Brunel, and we asked him how he's been coping in the past 7 years, 4 months, and 3 days since his son's death.
In the beginning, you're dealing with the grief. There's a sense of overwhelming, you know, pain. And there's also a sense of numbness, disbelief. And slowly but surely over time, you start to learn how to function again, and you try to move on. And what my family decided to do was, rather than, you know, hide what had happened, we went very public with what happened and worked as much as we could to prevent any family from having that happen again.
What was the community reaction at first when you first went public with this?
Having kept his addiction a secret for several years, honestly, there was nothing left for us to do but go public. And once we did, the outpouring of support was tremendous. The night of his wake, we had over 800 people come through. Some people even brought their children who were struggling with addiction to see the ramifications of what it could cause. We had counselors come through talking about it, you know, thanking us for being public. You know, there were some naysayers, but you take that with a grain of salt. There was a lot of ignorance back then about this disease. And I think we've come a little bit further in taking away the stigma and the shame of substance use disorder.
Your story has been reflected in hundreds of thousands of families across the country, across our region. Speaking as a parent who lost a child, looking at the deal that came out recently between the states and Purdue Pharma, how does it feel? Is it a good deal to you?
It's for families like mine, it's never going to be a good deal. But for what's on the table and what the Attorney General was able to discover about the Sacklers, and the fact that their name is no longer held in prestige, the fact that there is going to be a document repository with over 30 million documents in it showing, you know, how they orchestrated this addiction and this epidemic, how they systematically kept people addicted. And when I first got involved with the lawsuit, it was something that me and many other families wanted was accountability. Yes, ultimately, would we like to see them pay the price of going to jail? Yes, but that's not possible right now. Hopefully in the future it might be. But for the deal that Attorney General Maura Healey was able to secure, I think it goes a long way into starting the healing for some of these families and getting the resources to the people on the street that actually need it. You know, funding education around addiction, funding recovery, and, you know, hopefully ultimate prevention.
What would you like people to know about really anything involving this whole situation, about addiction, about opioids, about what families have gone through?
Well, if I could back up for a minute, what I'd like people to know is I'd like people to know about my son, because my son was a great kid. He loved sports. He loved the outdoors. He loved fishing. He wanted to be an environmental police officer. He wanted to help people. He was worked as an assistant harbor master down in Onset. He really had that in him that he wanted to give back, and he wanted to serve people, and he wanted to help people. And I remember one of the people that had come to his wake said that he was, even though he was suffering from substance abuse disorder, he was still helping other people with their recovery. So I just want people to know about my son. After all this is said and done, I want my son to be remembered, and I want him to be cherished like I cherish him by the people that didn't know him as well as I did. And just know that he was a good person.
Roger Brunel, thank you so much for sharing your story, for speaking out, and I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you for joining us today. As always, we welcome your comments. You can call us at 800-639-9120. You can follow us on social media at Hello and Another, or email us at andanotherthing@nepm.org. I'm Maya Schwader. On behalf of Dara Kennedy and the whole team here at And Another Thing, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.